I'd like to discuss in this shiur the halachic concept called yura. And yura is the Aramaic word for gaiva. And this is a pure halachic term. It appears in Shulchan Aruch and in Sugyos in Shas. We very often find the phrase in Shas, michsi ki yura, which means that the behavior pattern that's exhibited is very close or very reminiscent or reflective of gaiva, of putting oneself above others. And in certain places, Chazal expressed their fear and their suspicion that if you behave in a certain way that's different from others around you, in a sense, you are violating yura. That's not something that's acceptable. And yura, we'll see, is more than just a question of midos, of making sure that you have the right attributes, but it also goes beyond that. It also engenders halachic prohibitions in certain cases that we're not supposed to act in a certain way. And if we violate yura somehow, and in some cases we actually hurt others around us. And therefore it's not just bein adam liatzmo in the sense of midos and musa, but it's also bein adam lechaveru. One of the various cases that's dealt with, that's addressed with regard to yura in the Sugyan Brachos Tezayin Amid Beis, is the case of a chassan. A man on the first night of his marriage is exempt from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema requires a clear mind, and the chassan is torud, he's very preoccupied, and therefore, although the chachamim are a little bit laid back about it, they say that if the chassan wants to read Kriyat Shema, if he decides to do so, that's fine. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Lo kol arotze lito as Hashem yitol. Not everyone is appropriate for taking the name, so to speak, for giving himself as if the status, anointing himself as a Talmud Chacham, as a Chassid, that he can concentrate on the night of his wedding when he has so much on his mind on the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shema. It's very hard. He's Torud, it's the time of his chuppah, he's involved in Nisuin and Bila Rishon, etc., etc. And the halacha works with the assumption that he's not able to concentrate. Comes along this individual, he says, no, I'm fine, I can concentrate, I can push aside all these thoughts and distractions. He basically is a self-appointed chassid, a self-appointed tzaddik. And according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, That's not acceptable. And in certain conditions, when a person comes forward, he says, I'm not going to listen to what you tell me and be mevata myself from this mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, even for that one moment of my life, then is he really up to par? Does his outside behavior pattern reflect where he's holding his madrega? Perhaps he's not such a Talmud Chacham, such a great tzaddik and a chassid. And nevertheless, he wants to read Kriyat Shema. He's trying to show himself to be a Talmud Chacham, which he isn't. Says Rav Gamliel, that puts him in the category of yura. When a person promised tzidkis, he exhibits a certain level of religiosity, and yet that's not reflective of who he truly is. That's yura. And the Gemara over there in Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis raises the following contradiction between that Mishnah with regard to Kriyat Shema v'Chassan and a Mishnah in Pesachim on Daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis. There the Mishnah deals with the case of Tisha B'Av and whether or not we permit Malacha on Tisha B'Av. And the Mishnah says it depends on Makom Shenogu, on the Minigam Makom. In a place where the minig ha-mokum is to do malacha, you're allowed to do malacha. In the case where the minig is not to do malacha, we don't do malacha. The Tanakhama says, Talmidei Chachamim b'teilim. And a Talmid Chacham, even in a place where they do malacha, he's allowed to take off and say, I don't want to do malacha. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Li olam yaseh kol adam es atzmo k'talmid Chacham. Rav Shimon Gamliel advocates that every individual should make himself into a Talmud Chacham, so to speak, declare himself as a Talmud Chacham, and behave in a manner that reflects the fact that he is Kaviyachol Talmud Chacham. He's not a Talmud Chacham, but let everyone behave in that way. Rav Shimon Gamliel wanted to advocate that even in a place where that's not the minhag, to abstain from halacha. And even though halacha, according to the strict law and the din, he's not required to abstain from halacha, nevertheless, he should be encouraged to do so and make himself into a Talmud Chacham. This seems to be a blatant contradiction to what Rav Shimon Gamliel himself would have said, or at least his father, Rav Gamliel, would have said in the case of a chassan kriyat shma: stay away from pronouncing yourself as a Talmud Chacham. You're not up to that level. You're potter from kriyat shma, and that's where it should stand. Don't take upon yourself a chumrah when it's not appropriate for you. That's your era. But at the same time, with regard to abstaining from halacha on Tisha B'Av, Rav Shimon Gamliel is advocating that we should all put ourselves into the status, consider ourselves kaviyachal as if we were Talmid Chachamim, and abstain from halacha. And dafka the Chachamim are the ones are saying that we should not advocate becoming Talmid Chachamim and abstaining from halacha, but rather we have to be worried about Yura. So the Gemara in Brachos offers a reconciliation of this apparent contradiction in the name of Rav Shisha, Breid Rav Idi, and that is that everyone agrees that there is such a thing as Yura. Nobody's denying the fundamental Chashash Yura in general. The Rabbanan apply that in the case of abstaining from Malach on Tisha B'Av, but they're not worried about it in the case of reciting Kriyat Shema. Everyone is reciting Kriyat Shema. The chassan is not different than anyone else. He's equilibrizing himself with everyone. He's reading Kriyat Shema. That's not making him into an exception. On the other hand, in the case of malacha on Erev Tisha B'Av, if it's a place where they're knowing to do malacha, and this guy, he's not going to work today, you know, that's a statement about himself in a way that he differentiates himself clearly, putting himself on a higher level than the rest of the community. Now, in the case of Kriyat Shema, where the Chachamim are not worried about Yura, and they allow the Chassan to recite Kriyat Shema, because that's what everyone else is doing, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that there's a problem of Yura here. He, on the other hand, is not worried about Yura in the case of Malach on Tisha B'Av. Rather, since there are plenty of people who have simply no Malach, and it's, if I don't do anything, if I'm not actively involved in labor on a certain particular day or a certain time, well, what does that mean? Maybe it just means I didn't have a job. Maybe I was off that day. There's no reason for us to assume that the onlooker will suspect him of deliberately being mevatel himself from halacha. So again, let's just summarize. Everyone agrees in principle, nobody denies that the halacha is choshesh for Yura. The question is, under what circumstances does that chashash Yura really come to the fore? When a person is knowing in a certain way that is super duper, and it does not reflect where he's up to, that's called Yura. Whether or not people will see it and they'll observe it, those are sticky issues. Maybe if everyone's doing what I'm doing, then there's no Yura. Maybe if I'm doing something which can be easily interpreted as having nothing to do with taking upon myself a super duper chumrah, that's not Yura. And those are the details that have to be ironed out here in the context of the sugya here in Brachos Yud Zayin Amud Beis. But everyone agrees, everyone adopts the position that there is a fundamental principle called Yura. When a person behaves in a way that's not fitting and doesn't express his true inner madrega, if you will. And here we want to mention the Gemara in Bava Kamma and Tesamin Beis with regard to Avelus for the Churban. The Gemara tells us that a certain Eliezer Ze'ira refused to wear even white shoelaces. His attire from head to toe was totally black, reflective of very great grief and despair about the loss of Yerushalayim. And whereas other people would wear at least white shoelaces, he refused to wear white on his shoelaces. And the members of the Reish Galusa party met him, and they said, "Are you so significant? Are you on such a great madriga that your avelus, your grief and mourning over Yerushalayim is even greater than ours?" Meaning the rank and file citizen. "Are you so chashed to be misabel on Yerushalayim?" And they thought he was being noig biyahirus, yura, which means as if to be a balgaiva, you know, that I can mourn over Yerushalayim. I feel the loss and the tragedy even greater and deeper than anyone else does. What they did was they checked him out. And Enoch Nami, he turned out to be an Adam Gol B'Torah. He was Roy, he was on that level to grieve and mourn over the loss of Yerushalayim in the most intense, profound way, by far superseding everyone else, because that was where he was holding. That was, the outside was reflective of the inside, and therefore it wasn't Yura. But you see clearly that the Gemara is worried about some sort of kiyuma mitzvah, which is in a sense, I don't want to say voluntary, but at least the various levels of voluntary. You know, there's basic requirements in the law of Avelus on Yerushalayim, but above and beyond that, there are voluntary levels of profound grief and mourning that are not legislated by law. And despite that fact, if a person wants to go beyond the letter of the law and take on chumris and be more profound and extreme about his Avelus, that's a problem of Yura. Unless, again, like in the case of Ze'ira, of Eliezer's era, it really is genuine, it's reflective of his true inner self. But in the absence of that, you know, who are you to put yourself on a madriga that goes beyond the chachamim, beyond the halacha? Like in this case, you know, you're not wearing white at all from head to toe, pure black, and you want to demonstrate and roam around and, you know, wave the flag of I'm the real Avil, you know, I'm the real McCoy, but you're not holding there. That would be your. And we have Yura again in three cases now in Shas. We have the Chassan who says, "Oh, I can read Kriyat Shema even on my wedding night." We have the case of a person who all around him, everyone's going to work on Tisha B'Av, but he's on a high madrega, he's the holy roller, he can't go to work on Tisha B'Av. And finally, we have the case in Bava Kamma of Avelus on Yerushalayim. "Yeah, I'm on the greatest madrega, my Avelus goes beyond the Avelus of anyone else." And he's really not holding there. So, in all these cases, when a person declares himself and behaves in a certain way as if he were the holy roller, he's a chassid, a tzaddik, and a talmud chacham, and he's really not, that's yura. And that's accepted in the halacha. We're going to see in Shulchan Aruch that the principle of yura is embodied in many different halachic formulations. We'll start with the case of Chassan on his wedding night with regard to reciting Kriyat Shema. And if you take a look in our Chaim Siman Ayin, which is the Siman dedicated to Kriyat Shema, we will see that in our times things have changed and there is no real suspicion of Yura with regard to a Chassan, which might mean that our chassanim today are not so tarud. Or it might be that no one could really recite Kriyat Shema with the absolute, heavy, profound kavan of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. We fulfill Kriyat Shema on a more superficial level. But whichever way it is, whether it's the daveners who've changed or it's the chassanim who've changed, now we're in a situation where every chassan could be expected to fulfill his obligation on the night of his wedding and receive and recite Kriyat Shema. And the answer is, says the Mechaber, Shegam Shar Bnei Adam Eino Mechavnim Koroi. Right, you may say, well, wait a minute, you're encouraging, you're advocating for the Chassid to recite Kriyat Shema, and you're saying that there's no Chashash Yura. The answer is because no one has Kavana today. Gam Shar Bnei Adam Eino Mechavnim Koroi. I mean, we can anticipate that the level of kavana that the chassan is capable of is equal to the level of kavana that the whole general populace is capable of. So he's really equal to everybody else, and therefore there's no chashash, there's no suspicion here of yura. In other words, the whole issue of kavanas kriyat shema, which was so relevant back in the day because it was a tremendous effort and an unbelievable achievement to have that experience of kabbalas olam shamayim. People had tremendous kavana, really, you know, real intense, profound kavana. And the chassan, you know, who says he can have that kavana? But today, you know, no one's on that level to have that kavana for kriyat shema. Well, lucky if you have the basic kavana and kriyat shema. So there's no problem for a chassan. The chassan could also reach that lowest barrel, basic level of kavana for kriyat shema. Now, with regard to doing malach on Tisha B'Av that we discussed earlier, we will find that it's very interesting. The language of the poskim kol arotza lasos atzma talbet chachlim yin ze osa, that the halacha is that anyone who wants to accept upon himself the behavior pattern that is absolutely appropriate for a Talmud Chacham, and he wants to abstain from Malach on Tisha B'Av, he's allowed to do so. Apparently, because anybody who's passing, the observer, the spectator, might think that, you know what, he has no Malacha today. So if we'd stop the train now, you know, you get the impression that the halacha of yura doesn't really surface in the poskim, because neither in the case of the sugim brachas of kriyat shema, nor in the case of the sugim psachim of malach on Tisha B'Av, do these halachas of yura surface and emerge from the shas. Things are different today. Everyone's reading kriyat shema on the basic level without any deep, profound kavana. And the chassan can certainly be expected to reach that level of basic kavana. And in case of asis malacha, anybody who sees he doesn't have malacha will certainly have the ability to say, well, he didn't have a job today. He's on an off day, or there is no work for him. However, it's far from true to say that the principle of yura does not appear in the poskim. For example, if we start with the tshuva of the Mari Bruna, one of the greats of the Meshivim, for Ashkenazic Jewry, he speaks about the fact of yura in a person who wears his talis cotton on top of his beget. You know, you've seen it amongst Hasidim. They wear their talis cotton on top of their winter coat. And in a certain sense, by wearing their talis on top of their begodim, they are sort of publicly demonstrating their religious piety. And this was typical of married people. And the question that came in front of the Marie Bruna was, what about a single guy? He's a bachelor, or he's a young fellow, and he wants to do the same thing. You know, you have people here, for example, who will put talis ibur and cup, even though they're not married. You know, the way we're familiar with the minhag is that when you get married, that's when you put the talis ibur and cup. But the question here that the Mari Bruno wants to know about wearing the tzitzit on the outside, he writes that there is a chashash, he says, of yura here. He writes that achshav shein regilim lilvosh farhesya, we generally don't wear our tzitzit outside in public, and this guy, this young fellow, wants to go ahead and do so, is, you know what, I think it's a dovra matmiya. It's something that's going to, you know, raise eyebrows. We don't wear our tzitzis on top in such a public way, you know, to shove it in the face of the goyim. And he wants to do so. Is in such a case, he says, I would leave it out. Make sure he's not doing this. There's a violation here, possibly of lo sechana. I'm sorry. Violation of yura. Why? And the language of the Mari Bruna is very revealing. He writes, "Kol lovei she'eno samuch min agdolim nirakim meid edus sheker biatzmo." It's interesting. He's doing an action, a pious action in a public, which reflects the fact, or in a sense testifies about himself, a perjury. You know, he's saying, "I'm one of the great tzaddikim and chassidim. I'm going to do something above and beyond what everyone else is doing." And, you know, the only few people who do this kind of thing are the super pious people who are Hasidim and maybe Rabbanim, and he's going to fit himself into that category. He says, no, that's Eidu Sheker. That he's not allowed to do. We'll also find the problem of Yura with regard to fasting. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Kuf Ayin Hey speaks about the fact that they were waiting for rain in a drought season. They waited until Yud Zayin B'Mar Cheshvin, no rain. And now at this early stage, it's going to get a lot worse if there's no rain later on, it's the Talmidei Chachamim, and only the Talmidei Chachamim who will fast. And the poskim point out that a person who's not a Talmud Chacham, if he goes ahead and he fasts at this early stage, when the fast hasn't been declared for the common folk, for the entire populace of the nation of the Jewish people, he is violating Yorah. Then the Shulchan Aruch writes, Aval kol shar b'nei Odom eino rashoi. In other words, although this person who is a genuine Talmud Chacham is allowed to fast at this early stage, but someone who's not a genuine bona fide Talmud Chacham, he's not allowed to fast. And the Mishnah Berurah adds, "Haroa shemisana mucha milsa shaosim ipnei agshamim vami mishum yura." If the spectator, by realizing that we have no rains, that's why this man is fasting, then we already have Yura over here. Because again, we wanted to suggest that there's no Yura if a person abstains from Malacha, because maybe he just simply didn't have Malacha on that day. And perhaps we can create a corresponding situation in the case of someone who doesn't eat. He's fasting. Maybe he's just not hungry, or he has no access to food. No. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the premise is that Haroah, the onlooker, says, this fellow is in a state of tainus. He's not eating. And he's deliberately not eating. And this must mean that he's not eating because we don't have rains now. We're in a drought season. If he's not a bona fide Talmud Chacham, and he's fasting at this early stage on the 17th of Cheshvin, that's Yura. And that's brought down by the Shulchan Aruch, as embellished by the Mishnah Berurah in Tavkuf Ayin Hey. And the bottom line is, also liyodim sheinu chacham lisnaig banhaga kvul chachamim. You have certain very pious behavior patterns that reflect a level of a Talmud Chacham, and he's not on that level. So he wants to usurp their status and say, "Well, I'm like them." That's called Yura. And with regard to tzitzis, the Beis Yosef and Archaim Simon Yud Aleph in the name Ari Abuav paskins that Yochel Odom Lahadir Bishnei Bigdei Tzitzis Kishtei Ashitos. There's a machlokas there about how to wear the tzitzis. And this guy wants to be machlok for both shitas and organize his tzitzis in a way that they will be kosher, they will be acceptable for both shitas. And he can even outsmart us by, instead of wearing two pairs of tzitzis simultaneously, he can wear one pair of tzitzis but to put two sets of chutim on the beged in order to fulfill both shitas and whatever the machlokas is. We're not going into the details. On this kind of fellow, the Beis Yosef writes, "May olam lo ra'inu misha chashash ledover ze klal." We have no evidence of anyone who is choshesh for that particular shita in tzitzis. Ukvar omru b'yishalmi kol mokum shalloch rofefes b'yodcha tzei urei matzibur nohik. If you're not 100% sure about what the halacha is, check out the community. And this is a principle of the Yishalmi, which for the Beis Yosef is critical. We never saw anyone being choshesh for that shita in tzitzis, and therefore wear a second pair of tzitzis. And there's a phrase that repeats itself like our broken chain, and that is puk chazi my amid bar. Let's go out and see what the community of Israel is doing. What is the minhag of Klal Yisrael? And a person wants to be machmer above and beyond that minhag. We don't wear two pairs of tzitzis because of that machlokes.
for that chashash? And this guy wants to be machmar himself, and we have two pairs of sits to be yotzi both shitas? That's already mechzei kiyur. And I know by now you're surely questioning the issue of tefillin or Rabbeinu Tam wearing two pairs of tefillin. We'll come back to that in Mirtz Hashem shortly. But I would like to mention that in this last case, we're not talking about a chashash that somebody presents himself as a Talmud Chacham. We're not talking about a certain behavior pattern which is typical of the Talmidei Chachamim, and he is implementing that form of behavior. We're not talking about, again, presenting yourself as a Talmud Chacham, but rather we're talking about a person who wants to be machmir on something that the tzibur is mekil. And the truth is that we don't accept, the tzibur at large doesn't accept this chumrah. And as a result, since we don't accept this chumrah, the Beis Yosef says, lo'ra'inu me'olam lo'ra'inu misha chashavar, therefore is he has no right to be machmir on himself against the tzibur. And habola hachmir al atzmo keyotze v'zeh mishum michzei kiyura. That's this 100% right in the Beis Yosef. And basically what we're saying is that there's a fundamental principle here that we're seeing over and over again, is that if the average Jew who is not monei himself, he doesn't avoid a certain thing, and this guy goes ahead and he says, you know what, even though the tzibur is not nimna, is not desisting, I'm going to desist myself. I'm going to keep away from it. And we have this in Erevin, and we have in Tefillin Rabbeinu Tam. We have many examples where the tzibur, even in Chol HaVakum, we have to know that tzibur accepted that such behavior is mutter under these circumstances, and he says, no, I'm going to be more machmir on myself. And we live in a generation, if I might add, of people who are machmir, and they take on chumras every Monday and Thursday. And we have to see that taking on a chumra has a negative side to it as well. You know, the situation is always complicated. Because when a person wants to private sin, because say, oh, I want to take upon myself a chumra, he might be in violation of the principle of yura. And in the language of the Gaonim, cave under kuliyama lo kamimni minahi milsa. No one else is abstaining from such a thing. Vehu kamimna mine, odeka avid maidaloka avdidin kuliyama. A person, this is the language of the Gaonim and the Chuvis, who wants to take upon himself to avoid something which the tzibur itself are making. They know they don't try to avoid that something. Or in the flip side, he does something, say, not just avoid something with omission, but he implements a certain action which is not the religious standard of the community, is mechzei kiyura. The Gaonim say that this is a violation of yura. So when we're studying the bounds of yura, you know, when it applies and when it does not, we're talking about actual halacha l'maaseh cases. And these are going to be real issues in our society. We're going to talk about accepting chumras, as we mentioned before, with regard to Erevin and with regard to kashrus laws. And when is it okay to take upon oneself chumras? Because as the Gaonim say, came the kuliyama lo kamimni minahi milsa, vehu kamimni me, he wants to avoid it, is mechzei kiyur. He wants to avoid the kula of doing malach on Tisha B'Av, he wants to avoid the kula of wearing white shoelaces, he wants to avoid the kula of not fasting at this early date, even though it's a drought. All these things he wants to avoid, because he feels that on his level, he wants to take upon a chumrah, and this is usur. You know, it's usur to eat at this point when missing rain. It's usur to do malacha because it's erev Tisha B'Av. It's usur to wear one pair of tzitzis and get yourself into a suffek whether you're makayim the mitzvah tzitzis or you weren't makayim the mitzvah tzitzis, or or any of these isurim, which he wants to avoid. He wants to avoid eating in certain cases, and be mekabel tainis. And in other cases, he wants to avoid malacha and treat it like Tisha B'Av, and not be Mesiach Das from the Avelus of Tisha B'Av. And these are cases of Yura, insofar as his chumra that he accepts upon himself takes him beyond the rest of the populace. And if he's trying to put himself into the category of Talmud Chacham and his Zaken, if he doesn't fit that category, then it's Sheker. And we can't allow that to go on. Now, what about a case where there's a clear-cut obligation al pi halacha to do something, and the tzibur is laid back about it? You know, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. In that case, the poskim quote Rav Haigon, there were situations where people weren't wearing tefillin on a regular basis, on a daily basis, and they were poshea. He doesn't have to be poshea like them in order to avoid being mechsei kiyura. He's allowed to apply and implement what he feels, what he understands to be an absolute chova. If tefillin is required, he's going to wear tefillin. In regard to mezuzahs, there was a time period where people were putting mezuzahs on the front door, but they weren't putting mezuzahs on other houses in other rooms in the bayis. If he wants to fulfill that which is clearly a chiyuv al pitin, he doesn't have to be lax and laid back about the chiyuv because the rest of the people are lax and laid back. That's not mechsei kiyura. Mechsei kiyura is when the tzibur is doing everything they have to do, and in anything beyond that, they have absolute, reason, reliable halachic thinking and poskim to rely on that it's lekula, and he decides, no, I'm not accepting that kula. I'm going to be the great scholar, and I know it's us. Well, what do you mean? Who are you? You're basically a nobody. You've not achieved, and you just want to show yourself as if you're on that level. That's you. And we're seeing that over and over again as a halacha l'maisa principle. It's not just some sort of theoretical musa shmuz that comes from the Dapia Talmud, but it's mamish brought down in Posk. And I want to tell you this, that there's a gemara that seems to put particular emphasis on the way a person behaves in the presence of Talmidei Chachamim. To go ahead and be machmir, where the Talmidei Chachamim do not, in their eyes, like I'm saying, I'm standing with greats, and they're not interested in wearing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. But I'm going to show them, I'm going to outsmart them, and I'm more pious than they are. I'm going to wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. And this really takes us to the source, is a sugya in Bava Kama on Daf Pei Aleph Amid Beis. This is the story of Rebbe and Rabbi Chiya. These are two Tanoim. And they're on the way, they're on the road. And the question is, are they allowed to veer off as they're walking from the main thoroughfare of the highway and walk on an area which is called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Tzidei HaDerech, even though they are now trespassing into the field of an owner, of someone who owns the field, and they don't have any explicit permission from him. They don't want to go down the mainstay of the road, the main part of the road, because it's not comfortable for them. And they would rather walk on the sides, to avoid the mud or whatever it might be, avoid animals, or today we talk about avoid cars. But as insofar as the, in this case, Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya are moving away from the middle of the road, and they're traveling on the, they're walking on the side of the road, they're entering into someone else's domain. We're walking into his field. I mean, that's not allowed. But there was a takana that was made that dates back to the time of Yeshua ben Gamla. It's a really early takana that, for the sake of the rabbim and their safe passage on roads and thoroughfares, we're going to allow them to walk on the side of the road, even though it means trespassing. And that's the heter that was established by Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. And Rebbe and Rabbi Chiya were not frumer than the Pope. They were doing exactly, in that situation that they faced, what Yoshua ben Gamla had established. And they were walking on the side of the road. And guess what happens? The Gemara tells us that, who did they see? They saw Rabbi Yehuda ben Knusa. And he was walking in front of them in the middle part of the road. And the question is, why isn't he willing to walk on the side of the road? And it was understood that Rabbi Yehuda ben Knusa was not willing to rely on the heter that was established by Yeshua ben Gamla, and under all circumstances avoid trespassing in the Tzidei Adrachim. And he doesn't want to avoid, he doesn't want to violate the Issa of Lo Tasik Vul Reacha, and he's being super frum. And Rabbi Chiya and Rebbe are watching this, and they turn to each other, they ask, well, who is this person? Is he one of the greatest of all scholars that he has a right to say, well, I'm not going to rely on Yeshua ben Gamla? Rashi says, Shehu maralonu shu yirei shamayim mi'od, v'eino choshesh l'tnai shehisna Yoshua u'mechzik yura. So Rashi is offering here a little bit of an embellishment to the sugya here in Bava Kamma, namely that this Ben Knusa is trying to make a statement here that my Yerushalayim is greater than the Yerushalayim of Rebbe and Reb Chiya, because Rebbe and Reb Chiya rely on the heter of Yoshua ben Gamla. He's not willing to rely on the heter of Yoshua ben Gamla. And the Gemara says they accused Yehuda ben Knusa of Yura, that he was praving frumkeit that was way beyond his inner level. And the Meiri says the following: Davar sheheteru pashut. If there's a halachic heter, meaning normally you would anticipate this might be also we should be machmir, but the heter is accepted and the whole populace adopts it, the rotza echad lahachmir al atzmo, and one individual says, no, I don't want to accept this heter, is ein roilo lasos kein, this is not an acceptable mode of behavior. Certainly not in front of a gadol mimenu b'chachma. Certainly not if he's telling, well, I don't think it's right to be mutter, when the person who's in his presence is so much greater than he is in chachma and in Torah. But he wants to show his greatness, his gedula. So what does he do? Even though everyone else is mekil, he's going to be machmir. And that's something which is codified by the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Lamed Daled with regard to Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. And keep in mind that the Meiri is that we read is commenting on the Sugim Bava Kamma Pei Aleph with regard to the behavior of Yehuda ben Knusa in front of two Talmidei Chacham, one of the greats of all time, Revi and Reb Chiya. And the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're going to be noig chumrah in front of those who are greater than you in Torah, and they are not knowing that chumrah, for example, you're going to put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin and appoint yourself as the great tzaddik and pious person, and the language of the Mishnah Berurah is in Siman Lamed Daled, imei nicham b'fnei adam gadol she'ein noig la'nicham, if he puts on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin in the presence of a great scholar who doesn't have this minig of adding a second pair of tefillin to be yotzei zayin, the shita v'reinu tam, right? He has different sequence in the parashiyas. So menichem they odom gadol, he goes ahead and he puts on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin in front of some great scholar sheino noig lanichem, who doesn't have the minig of wearing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. Is vadai, says the Mishnah Berurah, mechzik yura. So we have here a clear-cut formulation of an Iser Mechzei Kiyura. This is not Midos, this is not, some sort of schmooze at the table, Shabbos afternoon. No, this is hardcore halacha. And what we're saying is not to wear a Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin in the presence of some great scholar who does not observe that minug of Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. discussed earlier the problem of taking on fast days when only Talmidei Chachamim, rare and far between, will fast, but it becomes a little bit cloudy as to how this filters into halacha, because the Yerushalmi in Brachas at the end of the second parak speaks about the case of a strict behavior pattern which requires a certain element of tsar. For example, as we said before, if you want to be strict and go in the middle of the road so that you don't veer off and walk on someone else's property, what happens if it's very, very uncomfortable to walk in the middle of the road because of the mud and so forth and so on? Now, if a person decides that he wants to be machmir, and whereas everyone else is veering off to the side of the road, even though they're trespassing on someone's land, but he decides he doesn't want to trespass, and he doesn't mind suffering the butts, you know, the mud, and going down the Eimah Derech, you know, the middle of the road, then in such a case, the Yerushalmi seems to assume that that's not considered Yura, because he's not implying that you guys are, you know, less religious than I am. It's just that you guys are more sensitive than I am to the discomfiture of walking down the middle of the road. And I can tolerate it. I have, you know, maybe I have a, you know, a higher pain threshold. Your pain threshold is lower than mine. And in a sense, you are a means implying a critique to others. You know, why don't you live up to my standards? You know, when a person promises tzidkis in front of Talmidei Chachamim, and those Talmidei Chachamim are lenient, and he says, no, we should be more strict, and he's implying, hey, you guys are a bunch of losers. Religiously, you're not living up to scratch, you know, to the level that you should be living on. But what happens in a case where, you know, he's not saying that, you know, he's able to justify their behavior, their lack of chumrah, because they, you know, they find it extremely kosher, ma'od alicha. For him, it's not so kosher, whatever it is. So the Yerushalmi seems to assume that's okay. That's not yura. Whenever you can explain away the lack of chumrah of others because of the discomfiture, then it's okay. You want to take upon yourself that lack of comfortability, that's okay. But then, what do we do with regard to fasting? We said before that if you take upon yourself a fast, that others are not fasting. Well, maybe the others are not fasting because it's too painful. It's too, you know, it's so challenging to fast. But, you know, this guy says, I'm a faster. You know, that's my name. My nickname is I'm a faster. And if you look in the Beis Yosef in Archaim Tov Kuf Pei Aleph with regard to fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, he says that even though most people, let's say, Afal Gav Debe Medrash Ka'omar Debe Erev Rosh Hashanah Gedolim Misanim, the Chazal and the Medrash say that only the Gedolim are fasting Erev Rosh Hashanah. He says that nevertheless in Ashkenaz there was a minig, many are knowing the minig to fast. And why is that acceptable when, you know, only the Gedolim are fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah? He says, Mishum Shab Dover Hu Bitsar Hu Tsar Lo, is if Kol Rotz Lasas Atzmo Gadol, then he's allowed to do it. So basically, the Beis Yosef is actually adopting this principle of the Yerushalmi and paskening that you can fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah despite the fact that technically it's mutter, and the Medrash says that only the Gedolim are fasting. And the answer is because, okay, the others aren't fasting because it's too difficult for them. The tsar element again kicks in. So that's a little bit strange, because again, you know, we've already seen that the you know, in the case where there's a drought, to start fasting when only Talmidei Chachamim are starting fasting on an early date, that's yura. Why not say, well, you know, the others aren't fasting because it's too painful. You know, the tsar is too great, and that doesn't bother me. So the question is how to reconcile this. Is a certain lack of, shall we say, clarity in this particular principle of the Yerushalmi, and whether or not we accept this principle. the Beis Yosef with regard to fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah seems to accept the principle of Yerushalmi. I'm allowed to be machmir and fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah because the pain doesn't bother me. Yenem, the others are not doing it because they can't, they're too sensitive to the pain. And that seems to be codified here in the Bir Halacha with regard to Erev Rosh Hashanah. So how do we, so once accepting that rule, how do we understand the case of Tainis Kishamim where we were discouraging people from fasting because only Talmidei Chacham are fasting? I mean, one of the ways perhaps you can reconcile this is if you read carefully the language of the Beis Yosef that we mentioned. He says that Ba'ashkenaz, he writes, Nagu Lisanos Kulam. It seems like this minog of fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the way the Beis Yosef presents it, was widespread and almost, you could say, universally adopted by everyone. And that's what removes the chashash yura, because by fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you're doing in Ashkenaz what everyone else did. Beyond Ashkenaz, people don't fast. That's not yura. I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm here, and that's what everyone here is doing. The only trouble is that to push that into the Beis Yosef is difficult, although again, he does say, Nagu Ashkenaz Sadas Kula, but that doesn't seem to be the reason and the response of the Beis Yosef as to why there's no yura here. He says, you know why it's not Yura? Not because all of the Bnei Ashkenaz are doing it. Maybe he's asking about the original Bnei Ashkenaz before the minig was so widespread. And why were they fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah? It says because it's a Dovashu Tzarlo. And again, if that be the case, then I think there would be, according to Beis Yosef, there should be no problem of Yura in any fasting whatsoever. Not just on Erev Rosh Hashanah, but for that matter, for the Tzomos of Menias Kishomim that we spoke about in a drought year, there too, he should be able to take upon himself that tsar, in quotation marks, of fasting at such an early date, and that's not considered Yura. Let's leave this and move on to another very important point about Yura. Yura only applies in public when there's an onlooker, a spectator, who realizes, look what you're doing over here. Are you such a Talmud Chacham? This behavior is not appropriate for you on your level. So, for example, we said that if you want to abstain from doing malach on Tisha B'Av in a place where most people are going to work, then la'alach, that's not Yura, because no one knows that you are praving frumkeit here by abstaining from malacha. Maybe you just don't have a job for today. And that's what we saw already in the sugya of Rav Shimon Gamliel, and we discussed this. So again, the fact that the onlooker has no right to point to you and say, well, who are you? Me, Somcha, you're not on that level. He can't say that, because maybe it's just I didn't have a job. And this in the tshuva literature expresses itself in the case of Erev. Let's say, for example, everyone's relying on the Erev. I don't want to rely on the Erev. But what have I right to do? I can be machmer without a yura. Why? Because, as the poskim say, lo nikar bo sheina rotz l'taltel. Nobody could actually pinpoint and say, well, you know, unless I wear it on a badge, on a flag, and wave it in people's faces. But lacking that, if I'm not carrying, maybe I'm just not carrying. Period. I'm not carrying. Like, if I don't go to work on Erev Tisha B'Av, I don't have a job that day. I don't have work. So again, everything seems to depend upon Hekera and Nikar and not Nikar, and what the Roa is going to say, and is the Roa going to point the finger at him and say, you're such a gaiva, this is you're a dick. You're going beyond. But if he's just abstaining, or whether it's Malacha, or in the case of an Erev of carrying, so mechatesi, there's no hecker here. He might just, maybe he's not carrying, that's all. He doesn't have anything to carry. And you find this again and again throughout the halacha, that if a person is not taking upon a chumra that's obvious, in modern Hebrew we say shemavlit et atzmo, you know, he looks different than everyone else, then that's okay. For example, in Hilchas Tzitzis, you find the Aruch Chaim Siman Chav Dalid, and the Beis Yosef says that even if we don't hold on to our tzitzis during Kriyat Shema, if he decides that he wants to hold on to his tzitzis during Kriyat Shema, he says That's not called Yura, because there are people who do it. The language of the Beis Yosef. Achshav shenogu bem ktsas b'nei adam, sulo michzi ki yura.
Interesting. Here the Beis Yosef says it's enough to have ktsas b'nei adam.
Before, with the case of fasting on Erev Hashanah, he had used the language that nogu b'ashkenaz lesanos kulam. But in any event, if there's a group, a sizable proportion of the population that has this meaning of taking the tzitzis into the hand during Kriyat Shema, he's allowed to do so. That's not Yura. Because once again, there's no such thing as Chash Yura unless people are pointing their finger and seriously accusing a person of being a Balgaiva. And the other issue that I wanted to mention, which is very important with regard to Yura, is what about a case where there's machlokas in psak? Can he decide that he wants to be machmer like that one shita? Or is that called yura? So this is the Beis Yosef in Siman Reish Lamed Hey, and we're talking about the issue of when to daven Meiriv. And it was apparently accepted kula, based on certain shitas, that you're allowed to daven Meiriv early, even before nightfall. And the Beis Yosef writes, "Afil b'makom shenogu atzibul likros kriyat shma." The minig was to daven Meiriv with kriyat shma mibojom even before nightfall. Yesh lechol adam lasos. A person can decide she could kriyat shma bonasi. He doesn't want to read kriyat shma until nightfall. Kevan de ladas kama gdolim lo yotzi de chover bekriyas beis hakneses zifalo michzi kiyur. And the question I want to raise with you is, in many of the cases that we discussed, like for example, someone who doesn't want to rely on the Erev, he's really just living according to certain poskim who are machmir on a very strict halacha. And the question is, therefore, why do we have to come up with this kind of answer? And that kind of is justified by the fact that, you know what, he's not carrying. So he's not carrying, he has nothing to carry. Forget about all that. Why not just simply say he's machmir like those poskim, like those machmirim, and that's exactly what he's doing. And in a whole bunch of our cases that we discussed, we can raise that point and apply the principle of he's being machmir l'kedasa machmirim. So that's a little bit of an important point here that begs clarification, and it might touch on the whole issue, for example, of Chol of Akum. You know, there are those who are Machmir and Chol of Akum, the poskim, let's say, who are Mekil and we rely on Chol of Akum. Okay, but I want to be Machmir for Chol of Akum, like those Shitas who are Machmir. That's not called Mechzei Kiyura. However, there is a tshuva from the Minchas Yitzchak, who is the Gravid here. He was also a Rav in England. And he brings down a presentation of the Chemdes Yisrael, who was worried about Yura, even in a case when there's plenty of room to be Machmir. But nevertheless, Ein L'shanos V'minig Olam. If the Minig is to be Mekil, that's it. So there's a whole issue in Poskim about Melechas Borer, with regard to taking bones out of fish. And it seems like back in the day of the Chemdes Yisrael, it was quite common to do this, to remove the bones from the fish by hand, and that would be a problem of borer. Borer atzomos mitoch adog mishas achila b'shabes u'biyontif. And the Chemdes Yisrael says that, you know what, you want to be machmir, that's yura. Why? Because the accepted psak is that you're allowed to do this. It's not Melechas Borer. Of course, we have to emphasize that the Chemdes Yisrael points out that on a Doraisa level, everybody agrees that there's no chash of Borer Doraisa in the case of fish because of the principle of Gidulei Karka. But nevertheless, there are Drabonans here, violations of the Drabonans that possibly might be involved. But we accepted the Kula. That's how we paskin. The Minchas Yitzchak himself has doubts about the halachic heter of taking out the atzamas from the dagim, and therefore he's not willing to be matter this. He doesn't think there's yura because there's no heter whatsoever to do this. And it's very interesting that the Minchas Yitzchak himself, when he talks about those who want to be machmir and they want to make sure that the hamotzi and the betzias passes on a lechem sholem, on a shlema, even I'm not talking about on Shabbos or lechem mishnah. And the Minchas Yitzchak here in this context says there's a real problem of yura. Even though there's a fine, you know, there's a fine group of poskim and a real tzad in halacha to be machmir in this case. But nevertheless, since the halacha was accepted that you don't need to take a shlema for hamotzi lechem in aretz, then why be machmir in this chashash yura? And he adds, "Kevan she'af gedolim v'tzadikim lo nizharu b'zeh." So it's not clear halacha l'maisa when the iser of yura kicks in and when it does not. Under what circumstances can I say, "Well, I want to be machmir because so many and so many poskim are machmir." And when does that mean that if the tzaddikim and the gedolim are not machmir and you want to be machmir, even though there is a shita like that in the Rishonim or whatever it might be, that still becomes yura? That's not clear. When is it yura and when is it not? And as we discussed before, you know, just to review some of the cases that we spoke about, for example, someone who doesn't want to perform malacha on Erev Tisha B'Av, even though the minhag is to be mekil, I mean, there clearly we're not talking about some sort of chumrah in halacha, but rather a minhag that evolved, and the minhag here was to be mekil, he wants to be machmir, and we have to find the svara to allow that. For example, the onlooker doesn't understand. And not only with regard to Asiyas Malach on Tisha B'Av, but also with regard to a chumra fasting, where again we came up with this super rule. I mean, it does seem to be that there are poskim who might encourage fasting on certain days. Let's say Erev Rosh Hashanah, for example. We said in the case of Cholav Akum, there's no Isur Yura because there are those who are machmir. Yet in the case of Erev, we had to come up with a super svara with the onlooker and so forth to be matir. Those who want to be machmir not rely on the Eruv. It's not really clear. I would say the following, that it's not enough that theoretically there are machmirim. I don't know if that itself is going to remove the yura element. I think we have to add another point that, you know, if there's a chumrah, even in Rishonim, but no one accepted that chumrah, you know, you're the only one who's out there, that could be a serious and should be a serious yura problem, the fact that you came up with these machmirim. I mean, if you're on the level of Reb Chaim Brisker that we could talk about now, that's a different story. But, you know, to put yourself on that level and publicly, you know, parade your chumrah against everyone and say, "Well, I'm worried about the following sheet." I mean, remember the sugya that we spoke about in Bava Kamma about those Tanoim, like the greatest Tanoim of Rebbe and Reb Chia, who had no problem relying on the Het of Yishuv Ben Gamla walking on the side of the road, even though it meant trespassing. And somebody comes along and says, "No, I'm not going to accept the Takon and the Kula of Yishuv Ben Gamla." That's something totally different. Now, it's interesting that at the end of the day, the Gemara justifies that, you know, that so-called Rabbi Yehuda ben Knusa, who refused to walk down the middle of the road. And getting back to the Gemara again, Amalei Rabbi Chiya Shema Rabbi Yehuda ben Gluska Talmidehu, first when they saw him walking down the middle of the road, they didn't know who he was, it was at a distance. But as they got closer and closer, Rabbi Chiya began to identify him as his own Talmud, then says Rabbi Chiya, this is a famous declaration, "Kol ma'asav l'shem shamayim." Everything he does l'shem shamayim. And when they finally met, Rabbi Chiya turns to his Talmud, Rabbi Yehuda ben Knusa, and he says to him, "Ilav Yehuda ben Knusa." You know, if you weren't on that special level of kol ma'asav l'shem shamayim, is gzartinu l'sakcha b'gizra de parzel, I would have taken some rash action against you, and I would have would have chopped up your knapsack or whatever it is. But the Meiri there in the sugya says that from this we see that if a person is a real chassid, there's no chash yura. He writes in Hoya no de chassiduso ubishleimuso v'kavanoso is areza osav and kabishum yura. So we now have one situation where even if is a clear cut heter in halacha, and he wants to go back to the situation of chumra of isur before that heter came in. And he wants to, in a sense, prava tzidkus, but it's going to be allowed because he's on that level. He's called Maisa L'Shem Shemaim. He's really a chassid, Ishmaila. He's on that level. And that's what the Beis Yosef codifies in Reish Lamed Hei in Or HaChaim, when he says, with regard to those who want to say Kriyat Shema Dafka after Tzeis HaKochavim, he says, on the one hand, it should be Mechsei Kiyura, because for Sefes, I mean, our minig is that we read Kriyat Shema and we daven Ma'ariv before nightfall. And that's Yura, because this guy doesn't want to do so. But on the other hand, if he's a person, says the Beis Yosef, who's Hurgal B'Prishus, he in general lives a life, everybody knows that he lives a life of absolute strict piety, then the Beis Yosef says that's not considered Yura. And the Beis Yosef, I'm not sure if it's the Beis Yosef, but the Bach for sure reiterates this kind of concept with regard to the Minog of Anshe Yerushalayim that's recorded in the Gemara in Sukkah, that they would walk around the entire holiday with their lulav in their hands. And what if a person who's not such a medagdik b'masof wants to take that upon himself? Says the Bach, that's what the Beis Yosef meant when he said, with regard to the case of Kriyat Shema, that if a person is a medagde b'masov and he's hurgal b'prishus, okay, that's a person who's on the level of Anshe Yerushalayim. And there's no yura. But for a regular rank and file Jew who's not so medagde b'masov, there's a mechsik yura. And this leads us to the Panim Chadoshos, the Panim Eros, who is famous for saying that in the case of someone who wants to wear white clothes on Shabbos, apparently the Mekubolim, the Holy Rollers, used to do that, he says, Ein lecha yura gdola mizu. I mean, he's really trying to show himself off as a chassid and a tzaddik. Elim Kenny writes, Mefursim v'chassidusu. He's somebody who's absolutely known for chassidus. Chol maisel v'sheif shamayim. Like that case of Yehuda ben Knusa. Halacha l'maisa, though, it's very difficult to find someone who could apply this heter and say, well, it's not mechsik yura because, you know, I'm really on that level. I mean, even Rav Moshe Feinstein in his tshuvas, when he speaks about blended whiskey, and he knows that that there were those who were mekil, and it became quite commonplace to be mekil, he would try to avoid drinking this blended whiskey because he felt it was mechsik yura. And he says, in public I would actually drink this kind of schnapps with people. Why? Because I'm afraid of yura. So in private he says he would avoid drinking it, but publicly he would drink it because he was afraid of yura, which is an amazing thing. Imagine Rav Moshe Feinstein, who's one of the Gdolei poskim of all time, and yet he's worried about yura. I mean, wouldn't everybody say, well, that's Rav Moshe on his level? It's not yura, that reflects his true level. In any event, my blessing and my wish for all of us is that when we take upon ourselves chumras, we should be very careful about it. There's always an issue of yura, and a person should really be on a certain level before he takes upon such a chumra publicly. And this could apply to cholavakum. You know, you have a person who says, well, I'm not going to eat cholavakum. Everyone around me is relying on the heter of cholavakum. I'm going to be more pious. And I'm going to be machbir. Everyone's relying on the Eruv. I'm not going to rely on the Eruv. Everyone is being mekil on malach on cholamoy, on Tisha B'Av. I'm not going to do malach on Tisha B'Av. Ich bin frumer, ich bin besser, ich bin a greiser tzaddik. And people don't realize that just because they took upon themselves the chumrah of the week, they deserve a pat on the back when they might even be violating an Iser of Yura, which is taken so seriously both in Shas and in Poskim. We've got to weigh the possibilities here that, you know, who are we to take on these chumras that are not commonplace? And if you have someone who's muksak b'prishus, okay, maybe he could do such a thing. Otherwise, the Gedolim would hide these kinds of nihugei chumras and so forth. They didn't want to publicize them and wear them as if, oh, I'm greater than you and you're inferior to me. The issue is way beyond midos, as we said before, if especially it's a niug in front of others who are gedolim mimenu, like, for example, to wear tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam in front of those who are not machmir. Again, you can come up with heterim. I'm not saying no. You know, you have to see to what extent this minug has been popularized and there are others who do it. Alternatively, there's a real serious shitas ha-poskim l'chumra, and you might even have a chashash d'oraisa. You're not going to fall into a chashash d'oraisa and outweigh that because of a chashash of yura. But barring those considerations, if it's not a popularly accepted chumra, and you're doing it publicly, and it's not an issue of a d'oraisa, it's your chumra, and there are so many poskim to make it, you have to realize that koch d'teiradiv, that when the halach determines that there's a kula, like what we discussed about your Shuv Ben Gamal's Takana to allow you to walk on the side into someone's field, then that's the way the halacha is. And we have to institute and implement the halacha both l'chumra and l'kula in both ways to uphold the tradition of halacha. And now you want to take on, got to be very careful. Yura is a serious business, both in Shas and in Poskim. He writes that we should avoid any sort of gaiva, and we should do what we have to do, and especially when we do things in public, we have to make sure that we don't cause any sort of machlokas, and if each and every one of us contributes in his own private, humble way to creating unity in Klal Yisrael, and respect, and not trying to show I'm better than you, then Emir Hashem will be that much closer to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, b'mheir v'yameinu, amen.